Alrighty. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 2.5 Gamer Podcast. I am your host, Hein Fiber, joined today, and hopefully, as always, by our good friends across the sea, NVZ, and the midget from California, Fizzy Stardust. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We're great, actually.
Splendid. Okay, yeah.
I'll speak. Seeing as you're half a person, I'll take on your responsibility. But yeah, no, things are going good. This is a pilot, guys, so we will fuck up, yes, and things will go wrong.
We will screw up many, many times, and hopefully you can tell us things that we can improve on, or maybe you just want to tell us how amazing we look in our tuxedos.
Exactly.
Which you are looking at right now, courtesy of Congressional Wombat.
Yes, big plug to Zoe. Her link channel will be in the description.
Oh, it'll be there.
She drew this, made it awesome. It just looks great, so there you go.
Yes, she's very amazing.
Now, what this is, for those of you who are like, what are you guys doing? We are doing a gaming podcast live, and if you are watching this on YouTube, this is obviously a video on demand. We will do this, we haven't really decided, it's really going to be based on work schedules and whatnot, but we'll have a few segments, and hopefully we'll be able to have some interaction with you guys, and this is, of course, the 2.5 Gamer Podcast, to answer McFloss in the chat. And we're going to start off today with a segment that Fizzy Stardust has called WTF Up, What the Fuck You Playing? I'm going to go ahead and start with MVZ. What have you been playing this week, man?
Okay, so I've been playing a couple of games a little bit, really. I think the main thing that I've been focusing on is on 3DS. I downloaded when I was at home, because I don't have Wi-Fi while I'm at uni. I downloaded a Game Boy game, which recently got released on the European eShop. I'm not sure if it's in the American one yet, but got released in the European eShop, which is the third Super Mario Land game, which is Wario Land, and this is basically, you know, side-scrolling platformer, your standard sort of Game Boy game. I think it's using the same game engine as the second Super Mario Land game, so it looks very similar. The assets are very similar, but in terms of like gameplay and everything, it's really completely starkly different from the Mario Land 2. So it's basically, the idea is collecting coins and that sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, in Mario Land 2, which was just, you know, going through and completing the levels, basically, the platforming aspect. Whereas I think what happens at the end of this game is that Wario gets put into, like, a house, dependent on how much coins you've collected during the game. So the best you can get is a mansion, and, like, you can get a tree house or something, and that general kind of thing. But it is, it's a very fun game. I mean, it's short, sure, but it's nothing, it's not too difficult, it's just generally fun. There's lots of platformingness to go through, and just one thing that's very interesting about it in general is how Wario controls, because he's very different to how Mario controls in the Mario Land 2 games. He's a lot slower, he has a lot more weight to him. I didn't really like it when I first started playing it. I was like, this feels a bit off, it feels a bit wonky. Wario doesn't seem like he would, be very nimble. He doesn't certainly look it, and it's pretty difficult to get used to it, because I mean, Super Mario Land 2, the sort of physics of the game are very, very different to what the physics are in this game. It's a lot faster and stuff, so you get used to it, but overall it's been pretty interesting, I guess. I'm not sure if either of you guys have played any of the Game Boy Mario games at all, but it was something that I played when in my youth, I guess. This one I didn't play in my youth, but the second one I certainly did.
I did not play those games. Most of my Game Boy experiences were the typical Fire Emblem, and obviously, like almost anybody who ever owned a Game Boy, I played Pokemon. And, of course, I played a lot of the Mega Man series, whether it was Mega Man Zero or the Mega Man Battle Network series. Those were kind of what I did mostly on my handhelds. I'm not really sure about Fizz, though. What about you, man?
As far as handhelds go, Tetris.
Yeah, winning!
I guess Tetris, too, right?
Yeah, I never really was like a big handheld guy. I had Tetris and I had Pokemon. That was it. But lately, I've been playing a lot of classicer games. That's a
yeah.
word.
Nice.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to actually get into playing Ocarina of Time on 3DS because I have it, and I figured I should probably play it. I missed like a lot of games in my youth. Like I stopped playing like really cool games, and I only played stupid games with my friends. And so I missed like all Zeldas. So this is my first time playing through Ocarina of Time. I'm not very far into it, but I'm totally digging it.
It is
so
a great
far.
Version of the game.
And yeah, it seems awesome. I want to get back into playing Skyward Sword because I played it for a few days and then I put it down and I never really got back into it. Because I'm just not like a big Wii guy.
You don't have a big Wii.
I haven't.
Oh man.
Just derailed me, totally. And then other than that, I've been playing Nintendo 64 a lot here and there. Old wrestling games, Pokemon Snap.
Oh, there's a classic. Yeah.
So good.
That is cool.
Man,
God,
don't you
it.
Think that the perfect thing for the 3DS would be a sequel to Pokemon Snap?
It would. It would be amazing.
I would get a 3DS, I think,
yeah.
if they came out with a Snap.
I think it's definitely... I mean, as far as the Pokemon spin-offs go, it really is the only legitimate one in my eyes. I really think all the others are complete trash. It's the only sort of proper spin-off that works. Apart from the pinball games. Pinball games are good, but...
Yeah, the pinball games were pretty good. Mm-hmm.
What about the TCG game for
Oh, that was good as well, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
but
about.
It wasn't really
yeah, you know, that's
because
it.
Because the TCG
well,
was
yeah.
pretty popular in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As far as
what the fuck are you playing?
What have I been playing? Well, I just re-downloaded Star Wars The Old Republic last night. I had been unsubscribed for a little while due to money issues, but thankfully I was able to go ahead and put $15 on that. I love that game. It is something that I pre-ordered and was able to play, you know, a few days before it came out. And I didn't get the collector's edition or anything like that, but it was certainly worth the money that I've put into it so far in terms of both as an MMO or even just playing it as Knights of the Old Republic 3, which I've played it in both ways. So that's something I started playing a little bit last night. Obviously, anybody who knows me knows I play a lot of League of Legends, and that probably is the game I play more than anything because it's a terrible game and I'm addicted to it. Other than that, some
won't
Kingdoms
shut up about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man.
Kingdoms of Amalur, I've been playing.
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. Such a badass name, man.
It's a really good game. And what else have I been playing this week? Let me just quickly pull up my desktop. There's one other game. I've actually been playing a little bit of the Shadow Era TCG, which is similar to a lot of different TCGs, including Magic the Gathering and the Pokemon TCG. Takes a lot of aspects from that. But the other game that I've been playing is Tribes Ascend. It is a first-person shooter on the PC, currently in open beta. It is an extremely hard game to get into. The skill cap is really... It's really hard to get into. But it is really fun, and I feel like it is probably the only true PC first-person shooter. If you look at even, say, Call of Duty or Battlefield, the PC versions aren't as good as they are on console for another reasons. And this is a game that you play at a high speed, like you're doing it properly. You're actually going around at about 150 miles an hour trying to shoot people. So it can be really just ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. It was one that I would really recommend.
I remember playing the first Tribes. That shit was insane. I had a jetpack. That's all
jetpacks
I remember.
Jetpacks are cool in video games in general.
Yep, jetpacks and skiing. That was
yeah.
That's what it's built around. And
yeah, it's crazy.
I was never involved in the old Tribes games, but when I got access to closed beta, I decided to give it a try. And it's not something that you can just hop into and suddenly be good at, because it's not Halo or Call of Duty where... Or especially Call of Duty, where you run around and you knife somebody and they die. first and foremost. I don't even think you can knife in this game. There's just so much speed. It is hard. And even some of the weapons feel really good, and they're actually tough to land a lot of times. So, really fun game, that's for sure.
Sure. just before, absolutely. If you got anything else to add to your
things. No, that's
list.
Okay. Well, the last thing, just before we finish off, you know, what we've been playing. I recently finished No More Heroes. I haven't actually finished it, from what I'm told.
Oh, there he is.
What?
You left for a moment.
Your internet like died.
Oh, it's okay. It's
the stream kind of.
Okay. Right. Are we back yet? Okay. This is.
it says we're live.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay. Fine. Live. So.
Go for it.
So basically, I've been playing No More Heroes. I mean, I got the game, I think, about a year and a half ago now, and it was like freaking. Is it? Fuck. Is everything? Is it back? Is it? Okay.
It is. People just need to pause and pause.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go on. What were you talking about?
Okay. So. Fuck. Sorry. Okay.
You were playing.
Yes.
Normal
okay.
Heroes.
I've been playing No More Heroes. I was actually live streaming No More Heroes the other night. I basically got all the way to the final assassination. How the game works essentially is you start the game and you're this dude and you're like, okay, I want to fuck this girl. So in order to do that, I need to kill 10 people. So the essential premise of the game is to get laid and to, you know, kill these assassins. So it's a game that has a lot of issues in terms of, it has a very open world structure in terms of just the world and everything, but the game doesn't work as an open world game. There's not much in the world for you to explore or discover. It's set out like a GTA but doesn't play like one, so there's lots of filler in between each assassination. You have to basically go and collect money by doing stupid mini games and stupid stuff in order to get to the next one. But the real meat of the game is at the boss battles. That's where it really comes to life, and each boss is very, very dramatic and very well characterized, I think. They all have their individual personalities. It took me a while to get through it just because of the sections in between where you have to just grind for money essentially to get to the next section. So I'd basically do it where I'd play it, beat an area, then beat the boss, and then kind of switch it off and not go back to it for a couple of weeks. So it's taken me a long time to get through it, but I did decide to live stream the end of it the other day, and got to the final boss, and it was pretty good. It was very, very difficult. I died at least like 5 or 6 times, but I did manage to get through it in the end, and very fun game. It uses the Wii Remote controls in a way that is, I think, satisfying, but not over the top. It's not a waggle fest, because the way that you hit people with your beam katana, this sort of giant lightsaber thing, obviously they can't call it a lightsaber because George Lucas would fuck them up the ass, so they have to call it like a beam katana, whatever. It's a pretty funny game in general. Lots of funny voice acting and very Japanese, very over the top. But yeah, it's very easy to control. You just basically mash the A button to smash people, and then it kind of prompts a command when you're about to murder them. It prompts like a direction for you to swing the remote in, and in all honesty, it doesn't actually matter what direction you swing the remote in. This isn't Skyward Sword, you know, it's just sensing for some kind of movement. But it's very satisfying, and you get that sort of feedback and stuff. So I am told, however, that the game has a secret final boss, which essentially makes you have to get all the katanas in the game in order to face that guy. But I'm going to have to basically go and spend money and do that if I want to play him. Which I kind of do want to, because lots of people say he's probably the best boss in the game, and he's really, really good. It's just a case of me wanting to go through and grinding for money again, which is the reason I didn't really want to play the game in the first place. But that's pretty much it for No More Heroes, so I've actually kind of closed that out now, which is nice. It's another game off my list that I need to beat. Yes,
congrats.
Indeed.
That's always a
good
feeling.
That was one of those games
that... a list, and there's games that I haven't gotten to this game, I need to finish it. I've actually got a list of games that I'm like halfway through, and I really need to sit down and kind of dedicate myself to beating some of them.
Yeah.
But it's always a great feeling when you actually do that.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a few Wii games left I need to go through. I need to finish GoldenEye, I need to finish Metroid Other M, I need to finish Zack and Wiki. I recently got Trauma Center for like £3, which I was interested in, like the Trauma Center games. They kind of share some similarities with things like Phoenix Wright and stuff in terms of story, but it's a lot more mechanical in terms of, you know, controlling the stuff. But that's kind of stuff that I've got to get through, which is fine, because I've got Xenoblade as well. That's going to be like 2 million hours of my time. But, I mean, I've got enough stuff to get through this year. I know that there is pretty much nothing coming out for Wii anymore, apart from Lost Story, which actually recently got released and recently got announced for America. So that I might pick up, dependent on whether I need something to play or not. But I think I'm set until the Wii U launches late in the year. But there you go. That's my end of my thing. Also, I should mention that No More Heroes is on PS3 now as well. It's called No More Heroes Paradise. So if you don't have a Wii and you have a PlayStation Move, then you can play No More Heroes on PS3. All in HD. And I think the PS3 version...
No one has a PlayStation Move.
Let's be honest. If they do, then that they're just fanboys.
That is one of the things that Sony hasn't really been pushing in your face like the Kinect has. The only thing I can really remember them doing about it was the Resistance 3 with the commercial on the gun.
With the gun thing, yeah.
But other than that, they really haven't done a lot with it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed.
For sure.
So,
I think that's it for what we've been playing, isn't it?
Pretty much,
indeed,
yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
Indeed. All right, so we were sitting here before the whole podcast and Attitude started, and we were thinking of trying to find topics for the show, and Zed found some artwork for some stuff that is going to be in Japan, but we're not going to get, and we decided as a joke, and it actually became a good idea, that we're going to have a segment called Fuck Japan, We Want This, because there's too many amazing things that only come out in Japan, and we're not getting, and it needs to happen.
Exactly. So... let me see if this is going to work. But this week, we have, from Japan, they have recently announced, there is basically, there is going to be a 3DS Fire Emblem game coming out that was announced at the Nintendo Direct Conference a while back, and then at the most recent Nintendo Direct Conference, they announced that the Fire Emblem game would be released, I believe, in April or May in Japan, something around that time. But what they have recently revealed is that there will be a special edition exclusive 3DS for the Fire Emblem game, and here it is. I'm not sure if you can see that fully or not. I'm trying to get as much of it onto the screen.
You've kind of got a narrow vision because of XSplit.
Yeah, but
still,
you can
that's,
see it. It's
that's the meme
sweet.
Potatoes.
Yeah, let's just
it.
Scroll across a bit, and you can see. There you go. That's basically it. But I mean, this looks fucking awesome. Like, I wish indeed they would bring stuff out here. I mean, they in the GameCube days, they had a special, like, Mario and Luigi GameCube pads and shit like that, which was just like, why did they not? This is just, like, Japanese stuff that they always get, which is so cool.
And they're also getting the Dragon Quest.
They are. Too. Let me just go grab that, because... it was announced the day before. I mean, this is what they do in Japan. They're like, oh, this is cool, let's do this, basically. And,
and then they do it.
And here's the Dragon Quest one. This one's a lot more sort of chirpy, I guess. Not kind of like badass or anything, but it's very, it's very cool. Those slimes. The
You want it.
Exactly.
Let's admit
you want
it.
That.
You want
Who
it.
Who doesn't want that? It's just, it's so, so awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. So, fuck, I've lost my thing. There we go. But yeah, that's the slime thing. Any thoughts?
Yeah, who doesn't love the little
any
slime
thoughts?
Guys?
Have either of you played Dragon Quest games at all? Any of the Dragon Quest series?
Was the last one like Dragon Quest 10, I believe?
Nine was on the DS.
Nine
was on the DS.
I played a bit of
I
Nine.
I played a bit of it. Dragon Quest is not a series that I was heavily into, but it wasn't a series that I disliked. It was just something that I didn't really know about when I was younger and kind of got brought to my attention when Dragon Quest IX came out. So I played a little bit of that, but for the most part, Dragon Quest was not on my list of games that I played, which I feel kind of bad about. I would like to actually go out and
play it. It is pretty much alongside Sorry, Fizz, you go.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was kind of the same way. Like, I never grew up playing Dragon Quest. And then Dragon Quest IX came out, and I saw, like, a lot of cool commercials and, like, really cool people plugging it. Like,
Seth Green, this game's
awesome. I was like, hey, if it's good enough for Seth Green, fuck, it's good enough for me. We're the same height. So I got the game, and I played it for a while, and it's... I never thought it was bad. I knew it was a good game, but I knew it just wasn't for me. Like, I wasn't
right.
that
it's, it's a very but I gave old it a, school JRPG, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I...
But I respect it as a game.
No, the Dragon Quest kind of, like, stands alongside Final Fantasy and all those big names in Japan, and it's alongside, in terms of sales, like, that and Monster Hunter are the two juggernauts in Japan. Basically, by Nintendo securing Dragon Quest IX on the DS, that was just, like, GG everyone else. And now Nintendo have secured Monster Hunter Tri-G on the 3DS and Monster Hunter 4, so Japan are basically, like, fuck every other gaming console, the 3DS is where it's at. Because they stand in line for days for this kind of stuff. But yeah, Dragon Quest is an interesting series. I played through 9. I haven't actually finished it. I'm on the final boss of 9. I put like 30 or so, 35 hours into it. It's a very fun game. It's the sort of game that's very easy to get through if you just put the time into it. I think initially Dragon Quest was... a game designed so that, you know, Japanese housewives could play it and they could go through and easily beat the game. It's a game that anyone could really beat. All you needed to do was really put time into it, because it's based around leveling up and just, you know, increasing stats and stuff. And, you know, as long as you're a high enough level, you can beat down whatever crap you come up against. You know, similar to the, you know, Pokemon sort of style of gameplay. But yeah, it's a fun JRPG, and, lots of interesting stuff about it. So, there you go.
I'm sitting here, like, biting my fingers at the whole Monster Hunter thing. I played Monster Hunter on the PS2 when they actually allowed us to have a release of that. I loved that game, and I wish that they would give us a real release here in North America. And no offense to the Wii or the 3DS, I just feel like that is a game that is better suited for, say, the PS3 or even the 360. I think that they can do more with it than they could with the Wii, for sure. And for the 3D, I'm okay with the 3DS version. I do know that there's a ton of just Monster Hunter land parties and shops dedicated to Monster Hunter in Japan. And as somebody who played it for the PS2, I wish that I could have a real release. A, I don't have a Wii, and it's just... a game that I loved, and I would put the time and the hours and all of that stuff into it, and it was, oh, Japan, we want just, it, fuck you.
Just wait for the Wii U when they do, like, Monster Hunter 5, and then it's
exactly.
gonna be
awesome. I mean, and the thing with Monster Hunter is, I kind of agree with you to some end, that yes, Monster Hunter would be fantastic on superior hardware, it would look great, it would have better online features and all that, but I mean, taking a look at the other systems and PC and everything, they have lots of games similar to this on those systems, and Nintendo hardware generally doesn't get games like this. It's a very rare thing. So I think that it's good to have it on the system, just so that it can sort of... this style of game can be, you know, given to people who own the Wii and 3DS hardware, as opposed to people who... you know, own other systems and other kind of games like this, so...
I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, I do agree that Nintendo needs a title like this, especially with how popular it is in Japan.
Exactly, yeah.
But as somebody who doesn't own a Wii and loves that franchise, I want it. Fuck you, I'm wanting it.
So fuck you, Nintendo, he wants it.
Exactly. So, that's gonna be,
But no, like, I totally agree. Like, something like that, like, Nintendo has, like, they have potential in a lot of places, and I think a lot, maybe not until the Wii U will that potential, like, be realized for, like, games like this.
Sure.
I mean, that's where they fall behind a lot. They need something crazy epic, like Monster Hunter on a system that can handle it and make
but
it amazing.
Nintendo also, they know how to make money, And by securing the Dragon Quest franchise, securing the Monster Hunter franchise in Japan, they are sorted. They don't even need to support the 3DS anymore, to be honest, because third-party developers will flock to that system now that Monster Hunter is there on it, and now that everything else is there on it, because, you know, that's where things are. I mean, the DS basically was supported by third parties for like the last couple of or 2 or 3 years of its life. Nintendo didn't really release that much on the DS. Third parties kind of carried it, whereas the flip side is true with the Wii, where you saw no third party shit anywhere because developers were like,
developers were like,
this hardware is not good enough, we cannot work with this. Also, it's a Nintendo, you know, home console. No one buys third-party games on Nintendo home consoles. People buy Nintendo consoles for Nintendo first-party titles. So, you know, that's where it is.
I mean, I'm sorry for anyone who, like, wanted to play COD or, like, Star Wars Force Unleashed on, like, Wii.
Yeah.
Like,
it was horrible. I was put off Force Unleashed heavily because I went to my cousin's house and he had Force Unleashed on the Wii and he had a massive HD TV. They have this ridiculous setup. They have like all the consoles, like hundreds of games, everything, like sound system, ridiculous. And he started playing Force Unleashed and it looked worse than a PS1 game. It was fucking horrible. I wanted to vomit all over the screen. It was disgusting. But yeah, I guess I should pick it up on PS3 because I am kind of interested in it.
Absolutely.
Is it good on PS3?
I recommend it highly.
It's a good game. The only issue I have is that it's a little short.
So short?
I do, especially number 2. Really left me wanting more.
Right.
But not in a good way.
Number 2 is a big, huge, giant, mega cocktail.
It was. It left me wanted more, and it wasn't in the good way. It wasn't, I want a third game. It was, I want a proper second game.
And yes. Oh, my God.
That was a huge letdown for me. Of course, a lot of people might not feel the same, but I do know that Force Unleashed 2 was seen as a bit of a letdown to fans of the first game.
Oh, God, was it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was still fun. Like, visually, it was, like, really cool. Like, they really made some strides visually, and, like, a little bit with gameplay. But as far as story goes, with that game, and, like, the length of it, oh, my God, I was so sad. Yeah.
So, yeah, Force Unleashed. Interesting. I should definitely...
But Force Unleashed, I
yeah,
recommend
I mean,
it.
It's going to be cheap at this point. I can pick up most PS3 games.
You'll knock it out in a day, and it's got high replay. I play it.
And this is
the thing
I like about me having bought a PS3 very, very late in the game, is that there are all these really, really good games that I have yet to play and I've yet to discover, but they're all so cheap now. They're all Game of the Year editions, they're all, you know, PlayStation Platinum Collection, you know, whatever. They're all really, really solid games.
Greatest Hits Collection, all that.
Yeah, basically, they're all really, really cheap. Like, the thing with Nintendo games that annoys me is the really good games will never drop in price because they will sell like bucket loads.
Yep.
New Super Mario Bros. Wii launched £40. It is now £35 at the lowest. I cannot find it for cheaper, and it's a game I'm interested in, sure, but I am not forking out £35 for that game. It really isn't going to happen. So, you know, this is the thing that I do like about the PS3. I can find Arkham Asylum for £7 and pick it up. It's fantastic. Like, it's great to have that accessibility now with the pretty big library and a really good library of games that I'm interested in, so it's great for that. So that's good.
I mean, for me, half of my collection for my PS3 is Greatest Hits, or I got it cheap on Amazon, but it's exactly that. There are very few games that I've bought right out of launch. I can think off one hand the games that I have. They're Uncharted 2, Killzone 3, and Dark Souls. Those are the only three games I pulled out $60 for at a retail store. And honestly, since I bought Dark Souls, which was the last new game that I bought, I get everything on Amazon because I can get it brand new 2 months later and it won't be $60. So there's that as well. But I know for a fact Nintendo is pretty bad in that sense, whereas PS3, of course, has their Game of the Year editions, their greatest hits.
I mean, Nintendo used to do it on the GameCube. They had their whatever Gamer's Choice games that there were like 20 as opposed to 40 here. Because I mean, you're like $60 for a standard game there, whereas it's 40 for a standard game here. It's just the difference in, you know.
I think it comes out.
It's around about the same. But yeah, that's pretty much. So I'm looking forward to getting some more cheap PS3 games. Anyway, we kind of tangented off on this "fuck you, Japan" segment.
But that is okay.
It's okay
because that is what we do.
Yeah.
It's like we sit on the topic of video games.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things that was, I was reading the chat this whole time, and one of the things that got mentioned is actually something we're going to talk about, and it is the PlayStation Vita.
Oh yes.
And
LOL Vita.
LOL Vita. LOL. This is a system that. I was never interested in it. I wasn't a big fan of the PSP. And when I saw the Vita, I was like, okay, this could be cool. I thought it was going to be a little bit too expensive on release. And I didn't really know how well it would do. And the numbers, I believe, are 1.2 million at launch.
Yes, yes. I'll break this down, basically.
Zed's got the
okay, so when the 3DS launched last year, Nintendo had projections of selling 4 million within the launch week or launch window, whatever they said. They said 4 million units, this is what we want to sell, this is what we're going to try and do. Nintendo ended up selling 3.6 million 3DSs within the first week of launch, which didn't quite meet their expectations, and people were kind of speculating about, you know, 3DS hasn't done as well as Nintendo thought it would, what's going to happen with the 3DS. It was all a bit shaky. People were like, okay, is the system really going to take off, isn't it? We're not quite sure. A lot of that was based on the success of the DS, because the DS is a ridiculously high-selling system. I think worldwide to this time, 3DS has sold 151 million units worldwide, which is just staggering how much it's sold. That's it's unbelievable, really. But when you're taking a system like that and you're trying to get a follow-up to it, it's obviously going to be highly criticized. Now, what's happened with the Vita is that the Vita has sold 1.2 million in its first week of release. I'm not sure if that includes Japan or not, because obviously it came out in Japan a lot earlier. I'm not sure what the Japan numbers are, but I think it is 1.2 million worldwide sold altogether. And people are saying, you know what, this isn't too bad, you know, that's kind of good. Even though you're comparing it to the 3DS, which sold a clear 2 million units more than it, people are saying, okay, the Vita's actually doing quite well. And a lot of that is obviously to do with the PSP, and how the PSP was not a big success at all. It was a commercial failure in terms of, you know, comparison to the DS. It did okay, sure, you know, it had Monster Hunter, of course, in Japan, which we all know just talked about Monster Hunter, that basically secures a system there. So Sony did well with the Vita, not the Vita, the PSP in Japan, simply because of Monster Hunter, but there were lots of issues with the original PSP. For one thing, the disk drive, which the UMD disk drives, which is basically moving parts, is the worst thing to have in a system. And people's UMD drives got screwed heavily, lots of crap going on with that. So the Vita, they're trying to fix that, basically, and they're going with flash cards and, you know, different things, different type of memories and everything. So
I was actually really surprised when I first heard about the Vita, because of how poorly the PSP did overall. If you look at companies in the past, when they're not doing too good, they don't always necessarily jump into doing another handheld or console if it was their console that fell. But Sony decided to go ahead and do it, and I guess they kind of had lower expectations than Nintendo did, obviously, because the Nintendo DS has done so well for many, many years. And it's one of those things where I feel that Sony is kind of saying, you know what, we're not going to give up, we're going to show you that we can still make a handheld if we so desire. But at the same time, I personally was not a big fan of it. I thought it was a bit gimmicky. And I would like to see how they do in the in the future and see if they fix a lot of the issues they had with the PSP, if they'll support a lot of the developers that Sony has, because Sony has more developers than anybody. And so it'll be interesting to see how well they do, if they really push the PS Vita, or if it's just kind of there while they work on something to keep our mind off of it.
Yeah.
The PS Vita just brings nothing to the table.
Look,
here's what they did. You know what they did? They took the PSP, and they're like, okay, hey, let's make this better. Let's put on a second joystick, and then throw on a shitty camera. And then we'll make it a touchscreen, because touchscreens are hot. Nintendo has a touchscreen, let's have a touchscreen. It looks the same. I don't feel like it's bringing anything really to the table.
I was actually watching TV the other day, and I saw a commercial for the Vita, and they had the whole thing that they're really promoting with the Wii U too, where if you have a game on your TV, you can actually continue playing it on the PS Vita. And I wasn't really paying attention to the commercial, so I don't know if what it was doing was projecting the Vita onto your TV through your PS3 or whatever, or if it was a actual thing where if you have a game on PS3 that you could somehow still play that game on your Vita. If that is the case, I think it's a cool little thing. It certainly would be better than the PlayStation Move, which has not been successful, but they haven't really marketed that either. So that is something I'd like to know a little bit more about. But overall, I agree. I don't think the Vita brings anything new or exciting to the table. If you look at the 3DS, it had 3D. That was their gimmick, and you know they did well with it, in the sense that this is an upgrade from the DS. But at the same time, they didn't have the support from the developers on launch, which is why the 3DS has gone down in price so many times. And there are actually reports that Sony has lost a lot of money because of it. But at the same time, or not Sony, Nintendo. But at the same time, Nintendo is this juggernaut company that has sold millions upon millions of units total.
They're
fine.
They're not
it's not like Nintendo's going anywhere. But I think that the 3DS, once it starts to get their support from the developers, first party, third party, whatever, that you'll start to see that come back up. And I don't think it'll rival the DS yet, but I think that it's trying to build up to that point.
Right.
And, like, this thing, like, okay, here's... And the other big thing with the Vita is it has apps, and it has 3G. Okay, if you buy the 3G version of the PS Vita, stop it. You just got suckered into the worst deal of all time ever.
No one is buying the 3G version. I believe the statistic was that 79% of Vita units that were sold were the Wi-Fi model. So, hardly anyone.
You know what that tells me? There's 21 more who bought a Vita are stupider than the other 79% who bought a Vita. Everyone and their mother has a smartphone right now. So it renders the whole, like, having apps on your handheld completely useless. It brings zero... the only app that you may want is maybe, like, Netflix. Because that's probably a bitchin' screen. I'll give them that. But other than that, like... It's just nothing. It's nothing. It's a
So I'm going to be a little bit more positive with the Vita. Okay,
go
so
for it.
I actually got to play a Vita. I was in game the other day, and they had a demo unit there. So I was like, you know what? Why not? I want to kind of figure out what the Vita's about, what it looks like, and you know how it plays. And I think the first thing that I noticed was it's a very light system. You don't expect it to be as light as it is. It looks really bulky. It is relatively large. I think it's a little bit bigger than the PSP. It might be around the same size. But you know, the analog sticks, they do stick out quite a bit, and they're okay. They're not fantastic. I expected them to be a little bit better, but they work. You know, they work, and they have this sort of notches in them so that you can do, you know, you can sort of track where they are and everything. So they're all right. The analog sticks are okay. I like the touchscreen, and the screen in general is gorgeous. It's OLED screen. It's not full HD, it's not true HD, but it might as well be HD because it does look phenomenal. The graphics and everything is astounding. The engine's great. It looks really good. It runs really well. There's that touch back pad as well. I didn't really get to do much with that. I'm not sure what they're going to be using that with, apart from sort of gimmicky stuff on the system. But I did get to play demos of Wipeout, first of all, and Uncharted. So I played a bit of Wipeout while the guy was just talking me through crap. I was basically, the guy was there, he's like, "Oh, right, so you know about the PS Vita then?" I'm like, "Yeah, a little bit," whereas, you know, I actually know quite a lot about it. So he's just telling me all this bullshit that I already know, and I'm just kind of like nodding and smiling. And I'm just going through Wipeout. Wipeout was pretty good. It runs really well. The frame rate doesn't really drop or anything, and it looks fun. I'm not quite sure how deep it is, whether it has online functions. I think a lot of the problem with the Vita launch is the lack of online functions on certain games. Mod Nation Races, which is a big PS3 sort of karting game, right? Have either of you played Mod Nation Races?
I tinkered around with it for a little bit. I don't own it. I had a friend that owned it. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Vita version of that, and I think it has really lackluster. Either doesn't have online functions, or it has really lackluster online functions, because I was listening to a podcast, I think it was IGN's Beyond podcast, is the PS3 one, and they were talking about how, you know, Mario Kart on the 3DS, Mario Kart 7, has such phenomenal online features. A Nintendo, a company who are not well known for their online, you know, their online is infamous because it's so terrible. And, you know, they were talking about how much better the online experience is with Mario Kart in comparison to, you know, the Vita, which should be a really well-integrated system, integrated with PSN and everything. It should work really well online, and they're very disappointed that, you know, Mod Nation Races doesn't have good online functionality, because it could have been really good online, I think. It's just,
and that's really surprising, considering Mod Nation Racers was not a single player game on the PS3. That was something you wanted to play online.
Right, exactly. So it is disappointing, I think, that's kind of happening. And there's also been news that there's going to be a Little Big Planet kart racer. So there's been speculation as to whether Sony are going to.
Was reading about
Yeah,
that.
Right. So there's been speculation about whether Sony are going to drop Mod Nation Races and replace it with the Little Big Planet kart racing game, because there really isn't much point in having two kart races, which are essentially going to be kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because when you think about it, Little Big Planet is... when you play Little Big Planet, yeah, if you were a fan, you know, you beat the game, but the real fun is when you're building your own levels and you get your friends to play it. And I mean, even if it's one of those things where you built this ridiculously hard thing just to screw with your friends,
exactly,
that was so much fun. And Modern Nation Racers, yeah, that kind of had the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I don't think they'll have two of the same game, which in essence, Modern Nation Racers and Little Big Planet Karting is what it's going to be called. Will be that. They're just too similar. I don't think they'd be able to coexist.
Exactly.
Mod Nation Racers is essentially the driving version of Little Big Planet.
Basically.
Yeah, it's just from a different company, which is unfortunate. If it was from the same company, they could have just molded to at the beginning, and it's one of those things where one company is going to suffer, and it's going to be the Mod Nation Racers team, which is sad.
It is sad. And that, it's a big focus on those. Both of those games are going to have a very big focus on customization. That's one of those things which Sony are kind of heavily geared towards, especially in Little Big Planet. There's ridiculous customization options in that game. So that's kind of the focus there. Not as much on the sort of racing aspect, I guess. The customization is a lot more thrown in your face. But I also got to play Uncharted, as I said, Golden Abyss, which I believe is the best-selling game on the Vita in the Western territories. It didn't sell well in Japan, because Japan don't really get that stuff. It's a very Western game. It's a very Western game. You know, Japan don't really like that kind of thing. They are... I mean, looking at how disgustingly the Xbox 360 has done in Japan... they are about as far removed from first-person shooters and, you know, Western games as can possibly be. Part of that is because... in general, the shooter genre.
It's... when you think about most of the Japanese games go, they're grind fest, they love their RPGs.
They do, yeah. RPGs are massive.
Uncharted is a movie.
Yes.
It's a lot of beautiful cutscenes, and then it flows really well, mm-hmm. which is why I'm a big fan mm-hmm. of it. And... How, like, in terms of the Vita version, how did they do a good job with
right.
it, or is it...
Now, this is a point that I think is going to be raised a lot during the Vita's lifespan, and it's unfortunate, but when you play the Vita version of Uncharted, you kind of expect it to look exactly like the PS3 version does. Because, you know, the Vita's a really powerful system, you're thinking, this is going to look amazing, this is going to blow my mind, you know, this ridiculous, amazing HD game on a handheld. And it's kind of disappointing, as, you know, graphically. I was expecting to be blown away more. Sure, it looks great, it looks really, really good, but it's just not quite there. The character model's a bit, up and down, I'm not quite sure about it. Kind of rough edges here and there I saw. I didn't quite get the sense that it was as astounding as I thought it might be. But it still looks good. And, I mean, the analog stick work kind of well with it. I could see myself playing it, certainly. I do want to try it. Because just to kind of get a feeling for what the differences are between this and the console version. I know that people have said that it's a lot more focused on gameplay elements than story, which I guess is kind of detrimental, because the you know, the experience aspect is the main draw of Uncharted. It is, as you said, a movie. Yeah. So
I'm sorry that I said ew. I mean, I love story and I love gameplay, but I play Uncharted because it's an incredible cinematic.
It is. It's
experience.
So
I don't
cinematic
play it because it is an incredible third-person shooter. It's fun. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but it was.
But let's be honest. As far as a third-person shooter goes,
it's all right.
It's like
all right.
A C.
I mean, gameplay is very, very average in that game. I mean, Drake is the number one mass murderer. He just kills people. That's it, basically. I mean, the puzzles are cool. The puzzles are cool, sure.
Oh, there's so many cool puzzles.
There are. I really like the way that they use the environment with the puzzle solving in the Uncharted series. That works a lot. I think one of the strong points of the Vita game is people have picked up that the puzzle solving is very interesting. There are a few gimmicks thrown in there. They're kind of doing pulling a little bit of a Nintendo, using the back pad to climb up vines, and, you know, using the touchscreen to... There's some cool stuff, certainly, with the touchscreen and, you know, figuring out puzzles by wiping away dust and stuff. That's kind of cool, that sort of thing. But Uncharted definitely looks good. It's and this is, maybe we talk about this for a bit, and how the Vita is being compared to the PS3. And it's a problem that I feel it's going to find during its lifetime, because people expect it to be that. People expect it to be a PS3 in their hand, and it isn't. It doesn't quite have that power. It's very close to it, sure, but it doesn't quite get it. And the question is, do people really want a handheld PS3? Because as far as I can tell, I would personally prefer to play Uncharted sitting on a sofa, you know, controller in hand, big speakers, massive TV.
With a 50-inch plasma.
Exactly,
screen.
Huge TV, and that's the way that game is meant to be played. But, you know, do you really want to be having the same kind of experience on a handheld? What do you guys think? I'm not too keen.
I personally don't. For me, I have a PS3. I love having... I mean, to be honest, my TV is one of those 20-inch cube pieces of shit. But even that, I would like to be able to sit in front of it and play my games how I want to play them. I can relax, I can do whatever. Yeah, you can do that with a handheld, but I feel like... Here's the thing. You can't compare something that just came out to something that's been out and polished for a while. The PS3, when it came out, was not good. It was overpriced, it had nothing going for it, until Little Big Planet came along and said, hey, we have a great first-person developer developing this, come play our system. And then Naughty Dog came along and they showed that the full potential of the PS3, which is something nobody had done, because the system is so different from the 360 that a lot of the people that have games on both consoles, both platforms, they're not going to go through and do everything required to make the PS3 stand out. Because if you go through and maximize the PS3 to its potential, it does look better than the 360, just because of the technology in both systems. Which is why that when it came out, and even today, games that are on both systems will look better on the 360, because they're not going to put that time and effort into the PS3. Whereas, you know, Naughty Dog and a lot of the now the huge list of developers from Sony, they will do that because that is who they're marketing for Sony.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, for like a handheld, like the PSP Vita, do I want to play a PSP in my hands? Yeah, that's kind of cool. But when I'm thinking handheld, I'm thinking something I could slip into my pocket. I can pull it out when I'm, you know, waiting somewhere for something. Or, you know, I just am out somewhere and I have a little spare time to kill. I need something I can pick up and put down really quickly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So do I want that big, you know, just cinematic experience on in my hand? It's a cool idea, it's a cool concept, but no. I need something that I can pick up for, let's say, 10, 20 minutes maximum, and then put down and not be hurt by it.
And this is, I feel, the problem that Sony have, is that they market the Vita as a system which is this handheld powerhouse. And I don't think they really kind of understand the handheld market like Nintendo do or like Apple do, certainly, because the handheld market is very, very different, starkly different to the console market, because what you want is experiences tailor-made for a portable experience. You want stuff that you can quickly load up on the go, quickly save or whatever you need to do, and shut down instantly, that you don't want to have problems with, you know, when you're out and about. You want it to be ease of access, you want it just to be, you know, a quick fix here and there, something that you can work on gradually, you know, like, I mean, for example, on 3DS, Mario 3D Land, those levels maybe take 2 minutes each, so you can pop out your 3DS, go through a 3D level, you know, see some cool stuff, and then, you know, your bus arrives, put it back in your pocket, and whatever. It's easy, you can do that, whereas something like Uncharted, oh crap, I'm in the middle of a gunfight, I need to find a place to pause, and, you know, if I do that, then, you know, I'm going to have to put the system into sleep mode, and I can't put it anywhere, because all these joysticks aren't going to fit in my pocket. It's something that's it's difficult.
And then the game dies.
Exactly, and that's another problem, because battery life is going to be pretty dire with this system, considering the power output.
The PSP didn't even have very good battery life, and it's not as powerful.
No.
Yeah, true.
You know what I know the first thing I did with my PSP?
What did...
What?
Try to find porn. Not even joking.
The sad thing is, I fully believe
it. Oh, man.
But going with what you were saying, Zed, because we don't want to creep people out with midget porn.
Oh, God.
You were talking about a game that Nintendo, they do a really good job of, you know, pick up, put down, you know, 5 minutes at a time, whatever.
Right.
Flashback, you had a Game Boy Color, you're playing Pokemon Red in the bathroom while you're taking a piss, and A, you probably were in there for about 20 minutes longer than
of course, of course.
You were just addicted.
I still am.
I don't do that anymore,
still
just because
am.
These days I have my Apple device and I'm using, you know, either ebooks or many of my apps that I have to do that, and it's exactly that. The Vita is this really cool concept, but it's not the handheld market.
It's not fulfilling any needs.
It's not one of those casual pick-up, put-down things, and which is what I have an issue with it. The PSP had that too, among with its many other problems. If I want to play a 30-hour game, I want to do it on a big screen with my surround sound, with, you know, my big comfy chair and, you know, chips and dip, whatever I want, but I want to be able to dedicate that time to it. I don't want to have you playing for 10 minutes and then that red light that says my battery's about to die come on, and I have to run around and try and find my charger, or even, like you said, if I'm out and about, it's just, I don't want a game that I'm going to get into and I want to play, and then, I have to turn this off.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think one thing, though, in terms of portability for the Vita that it has going for it over the 3DS is every single Vita game from launch was available online to download. Now, granted, you need to have a big memory card in order to store Vita games. They take up a lot of memory, and the memory cards cost a fuck ton as well. Another problem with it is that the memory cards are Vita exclusive. You can't go out and buy a standard SD card. You have to get a specific Sony Vita card in order to store memory. But the one thing that you can do with the Vita is you won't have to carry around a case with all your games in it when you're going away somewhere. You can just have your system, all the games will be on the OS already, you can just load them up straight from there, download them straight to the system, and this is the first time really that a console or just anything in general is moving towards digital downloads as a part, opposed to the retail versions. So that is one thing that I do think is great for it. It's moving towards that digital distribution a lot more than any other system has before it.
Well, the PSP did that right before it changed.
The PSP Go did.
Yeah.
You know, people in chat are just saying the PSP Go is a failure because of the downloading thing. The problem with that was the time at which it came out. Digital stuff still wasn't, people weren't doing that much in terms of downloading things as opposed to retail. I think at this point in time, we're moving much closer to that kind of thing. So I think the Vita will work better with this downloading thing, especially as we move into the future, being a system that is able to do that. It's going to be to its benefit, I think, rather than anything else.
Quick question. When was the PSP Go released, roughly?
I don't really know. We could pull up a wiki search or get someone into the chat.
If somebody in the chat happens to know while Zed's pulling that up.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, Sony 09? Okay, it came out in 09. So, me as a PC gamer predominantly, I use Steam and digital distribution for almost everything. I know that Sony has since the PSP Go came out, they partnered with Steam, and now you can actually use the Steam store in PSN, and now it's one of those things where that's becoming the way to go. Steam have done a fantastic job of really cornering the market on digital distribution for PC games, and now that they've kind of had that partnership with PlayStation, they're moving towards getting digital distribution into console gaming as a whole. And it's not something that's going to happen right now. It's going to be a few years down the line for sure. But I think pretty soon the fact that digital distribution is going to be the main source of getting your gaming. You're not going to be able to go to Walmart and just not buy a game, but it's not going to be as useful and as popular as staying at home. Just for me, for example, Skyrim came out. I had that game downloaded and installed on my computer, ready to go before it came out, because that's what Steam allowed me to do. When Midnight came, I had that game fully ready to go. All I had to do was kick play, and all of those people who are out at their Midnight releases, which are a fantastic experience. Unfortunately, I didn't have one in my town. There was nobody doing a Midnight release for Skyrim. But I was able to stay at home. I knew people that were out in the cold, freezing and rain and whatnot, waiting for this game, and I was already playing it. So I think that digital distribution is certainly going to be the future, and I know that, if you even look at the PSN right now, they have their whole, the PlayStation Plus, I think it's called. You're going to get free games, and you're going to be able to download stuff at a discount for having your subscription package, whatever they do with it. It's geared towards digital distribution, and PC is digital distribution these days. I think the 360 has some aspects of it. I'm not sure. I'm not a big Microsoft guy. Maybe Fizz can tell me whether or not that's true. And if they're not, they're probably going to go towards that market as well.
I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, they already have, their store, and, there's a lot of things that you can... I mean, you can go that route easily. I mean, and they could push for it. I'm sure sometime in the future they'll make that push when they feel the time's right. Possibly, I'd say, they might kind of sit on it and wait and, when it's kind of popular, and then they'll make that push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I certainly think that Sony are going to be the first of the console generation to push towards digital distribution, simply because of the Vita, because of PS3 games now being released for full download sooner and sooner after they are, released at retail.
So it's... it used to be you could only get the classics. You could only go on the store and get, Final Fantasy VII or... you know, Sonic 4, like the actual PSN or Xbox Live Arcade games. Now you're getting your full-on retail $60 AAA titles, and you don't have to leave your couch.
Exactly.
Which is kind of scary.
It is, yeah. Cool. no, yeah.
Now all you need is a job that lets you not leave your couch and you're set
exactly.
for life.
Exactly.
YouTube money!
YouTube money! No, but I... yeah, then I think Microsoft are going to follow soon after. Nintendo are going to just... I don't know what they're going to do, because Nintendo have a fantastic relationship with retailers. GameStop especially. I believe that Xenoblade is coming out in April in America, but it is coming exclusively through GameStop. I think that they just did a deal with Nintendo, and they were like, you know what, we have a good relationship, let's do this. Nintendo weren't going to bring out Xenoblade, but it was a fan-driven thing, and they're going to bring it out now in partnership with GameStop. They're also, I believe, the Circle Pad Pro for the 3DS is a GameStop exclusive. There's lots of things that they have done with retailers, and they have a very good relationship with them. So as retailers start to die, I think they're probably going to be hit the hardest by it. Especially,
I have an issue with that, though.
I think Nintendo's a honey badger because they don't give a shit.
I have always had an issue with retailer exclusives.
Yeah.
Pre-orders are notoriously bad for it. I know Steam, typically they do, like, if you pre-order on Steam, you get TF2 hats. I'm okay with TF2 hats because it's, you know, a cosmetic thing. But go to GameStop and you get XX and X that you can't get anywhere else. If they are the same thing as if I went, you know, from GameStop to Walmart or Best Buy, whatever, if they're the same thing with different names and different looks, I'm okay with that. But if by going to one retailer over another, I am putting myself at an advantage to somebody else, that's not okay with me. And I'm certainly not okay with Nintendo and GameStop having a exclusive relationship that says you can only go to GameStop to get these products, for reasons not just the fact that I have issues with GameStop as a company, but I don't feel that's fair to a lot of people who might not even have access to a GameStop in their area and want these games. For me, I would like to be able to go on Amazon and get something. If I don't have that option, that's certainly going to make me mad and not want me to help that publisher or help that company in any way.
Right. Yeah. And there's something else which could definitely hurt people like GameStop. Maybe we can do this as a segment.
Fizz just dropped.
Okay. Well, maybe we can do a segment next time around the used game market. And there's lots of news stories coming out recently about how the Xbox 720 potentially may not allow the use of used games on the system. It would lock them out and, you know, not allow them to be used. And that kind of, you know, brings up the idea of threatening stores like GameStop and being able to distribute used games, because a huge percentage of their profits comes from selling used games. And if they lose that entire market, then, you know, that hits them really hard.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, the used game market is worse than pirating. Because, at least pirating, I mean, if you go on a torrent site and you, using The Witcher 2 as an example, because I know more people pirated that game than bought it, anytime you're pirating a game, the person who has the pirate up there says, you know, if you enjoy this game, actually go and support your developer.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it can give them some publicity. I know, personally, I was one of those many, many people who pirated The Witcher 2, because I loved The Witcher 1 and I wanted to play it, but I had no money at the time. The second I had money for it, I actually went out and bought it. But I know there are a lot of people who don't do that. But for used games, that money goes entirely to the GameStop or whoever you bought it from. None of that money goes to the developer, which is why you see, I know for EA specifically, they have the whole, for Madden, you buy the game, you get a code that says this is what you are allowed to use online. If you go and turn that game into GameStop and somebody else buys it, they have to spend additional money out of their pocket if they want to play online. I'm okay with that model because that still keeps money in the developer's hands where it really belongs, as opposed to the GameStops or the Games or the GameStation or whatever retailer you have. And if they do go towards a market where you can't play the game at all, I might be a little unokay with that, but I know that actually a relatively recent release was Batman Arkham City. You actually could not play that game to its full potential, the single player, with a used copy. There was actually parts of the game they cut out. I had a bit of an issue with that, but at the same time, I do see why they do it, and I would like to see them, especially right now with the market being geared more towards multiplayer, where more companies go ahead and decide to use the whole, you know, online code.
Right,
that you might have to spend
$15
for.
That's why I was going to go next with the online passes, which are starting to pop up now.
But if
it's
single player,
I like that. I think that's okay.
I'm a little concerned, especially because there are so many gamers on a budget. You know, think of students, think of people who don't necessarily have full-time jobs, and
just kids with have rich parents.
12-year-old kids, they can't go out and spend $60 for every time they want a new game. And so, used games are good for them. And I actually know, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a UK-based digital distribution site you can actually sell your games to, and then you can actually download a used digital version of a game for a cheaper price. And I wish I could remember the name of it. It is something that's only done in the UK, and I love that model because it's ways to keep the whole used game system alive, but without taking advantage of it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, there we go. Vita to everything and tangents everywhere, all across the sky.
And there was going to be a really good segue, but then we kind of stopped talking about
yeah,
it.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say that.
But the Steam box.
Yes, rumors. Actually, I think this just came out earlier today.
Yeah, so this is our next topic. We are basically speculating on what has recently been announced, which is that Steam are potentially looking at launching a home console. So, Fiber, you want to talk a bit about what we know?
It is something that, like I said, I think it came out earlier today. The people who kind of got the exclusive on this is TheVerge.com, and this is something that Steam might announce at GDC, which should be coming up relatively soon if I'm not mistaken. But Valve co-owner Gabe Newell actually told Penny Arcade, if we have to sell hardware, we will. And last year they patented a kind of device that would allow them to use, you know, USB peripherals on their console, quote unquote, because if that's what they decided to do.
If I may interrupt really quick, GDC is actually this upcoming week.
It is, yes,
week.
GDC week.
See, I didn't
March
agree, it was
5th,
close.
March 5th through the 9th.
So it starts to change, yeah.
If
continue.
Time we do this, you might have us talking about the Steam Box, if that's what
yeah, we might be talking about, we'll probably be talking about GDC announcements in general, so.
Just talking a little bit about the system itself, there are some rumors going along that the Alienware X51 is actually the design to be early specs with the system they have in mind, which would blow my mind. Just kaboom.
Yeah.
Because that is a powerful
system. Oh,
yeah.
See, I don't know what that means, but it sounds badass.
It's okay. I'll
anything Alienware is badass.
The stats. They're going to be pulling in a Core i7 CPU, 8 gigs of RAM, and an NVIDIA GPU. Which basically, right now, it would be more powerful than any console on the market right now, not including PCs. So, the thing that I would like to know, and hopefully if they decide to do this, they'll put some information about it, is how are they going to do this? Because is this something that is going to be, you know, a console that plays PC games or PS3 games or what? I do know that if they make a system, the fact that Valve will become a first-party developer for them is huge. Think of the market that they'd have. Half-Life 3 becoming exclusive for a Steam console. Left 4 Dead could potentially become a franchise for the Steam console. Valve has so many games that are so popular that are cross-platform between, you know, PC and Microsoft and even the PS3 for certain games, where If they take that away, that is a market that could just explode for them.
Oh yeah, Valve has really potential to be a juggernaut for Steam.
They do.
It is a juggernaut for Steam.
Well, yeah.
If there was not Valve, we would not have Steam the way it is today. The biggest games out on Steam have been Valve's. They were partners from the beginning, and the numbers, I wish I had them in front of me, and it's an article I'd have to dig and search for. The numbers are staggering. I think they said there's like 11 million more users on Steam at the time of the article than there was a year before.
Jesus Christ.
It just goes to show you how big the whole digital distribution is becoming, especially when you think now that there are a ton of... what's the word? There's a ton of developers, that's the word I'm thinking of, that do games for, you know, PC or the consoles that are now coming to Steam. You can get Assassin's Creed on Steam. You can get Skyrim on Steam.
Yeah, it's a big thing with indie devs. It's very easy for them to get their games onto Steam. It's a much easier process than going through companies like Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony to get their games up there. I know, especially with, like, Xbox Live Arcade, you know, Microsoft have a ton of fucking things that you have to include in this game in order to get it up on the Live Arcade. Whereas with Steam, you don't really have those issues occurring.
And if Steam did a home console, indie developers will be foaming at the mouth. They're just going to have fangasms everywhere because they're going to be able to market their stuff to so many more people. And it's going to help. It's going to help a lot of the indie developers, I think. Ian 27, I'll probably bring that up in a second. He just talked about Origin, and I'll bring that up in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think that's really cool. And their controller that they're kind of going with, apparently, and this is not confirmed, none of this is confirmed, but their console will have, like, removable parts based on the games that you're playing.
Which is insane.
Which would be really cool, if kind of really weird at the same time, so hopefully it's not really gimmicky. And yes, games like Terraria for the church.
Yeah. something about you're about to talk about Origin and Steam. It was a little bit of news or rumor, it was, that because Nintendo haven't really talked about their online structure for Wii U, people are speculating as to whether they're going to be using an outside company to help them with their online infrastructure, or whether they're going to be using an already existing infrastructure to implement on Wii U. So there was this discussion as to whether they were going to have Steam or Origin on Wii U, and both kind of companies, Valve and EA, seeing which one were going to be the platform for the Wii U, digital distribution and everything in the online aspect, which would be, I mean, it would be fucking phenomenal to have Steam on Wii U. That would be absolutely amazing, especially if you got access to all the downloadable titles, from the beginning. It would be incredible. But Origin is something else that may happen, and I'm not sure as to whether that would be more likely or not. I know that EA have a relatively decent relationship with Nintendo, so that could potentially happen, but that's all rumor at the moment. We really don't know what's going to be happening with that system.
I would think that Nintendo would slide towards EA.
Yeah.
For the case that if you look at Steam and EA and all of the clusterfuck that they've had together, you can no longer get an EA game on Steam. They pulled Star Wars from Steam, Star Wars The Old Republic, that is, and that was a game that I would have preferred to buy on Steam. I had to go and get Origin to buy that game pre-ordered. Was not happy. I am not a fan of Origin. But at the same time, EA is not a company you want to mess with. Because if EA is... There's a lot of issues with them. They kind of hold grudges. And if they have a grudge against you, if they pull their support from your company, that's huge. You want an example? Go look at the Dreamcast, who didn't have support from EA Games. That was a huge...
The Dreamcast to them just going crashed over. And burned. It was...
Especially with how big EA is. When you think about it, they have BioWare, which is a huge company. You know, Mass Effect 3, the Star Wars franchise. Trying to think. There's EA Sports, which... I mean, Madden...
Yeah,
the Madden
EA Sports
series,
is a giant.
Best-selling franchise ever done. there are so much money in EA that you can't mess with them, and I think that Nintendo is not going to try and, you know, step on anybody's toes. Not to mention, if Steam has, you know, a monopoly on the digital market on every system, that's a little scary in and of itself.
It is, yeah. So,
I mean, they've clearly they pretty much have the cornerstone on the PC market. I know there's a ton of digital distribution sites out there, but I feel like that, you know, Steam, while a great company, I support Steam. There's some issues with it, but I support them more than anybody else at this point. I think that they and EA kind of need to work out their differences, because when you're suddenly trying to put, you know, two digital distribution platforms, it suddenly starts a second console war, so to speak, where we had, you know, the 360 and the PS3 and the Wii, where they had their exclusives. Suddenly you're going to get digital distribution exclusives, and it's just going to cause a giant clusterfuck, and nobody wants that kind of drama. You play video games to have a good time. I don't play it to deal with the company drama. I don't think anybody does.
No, definitely.
I love the drama.
Drama's great. We love drama here.
Yeah, drama was great.
It's great when you're not involved.
It was. I had fun in drama class in high school. Man. It's one of the best times of my life.
I took drama every year, but that is beside the point.
Oh, me too, dude.
Yeah.
I hope that EA and Steam can kind of work out their issues, and if it does get to the point where, you know, Steam is on PlayStation and the Steam box, if it comes out, maybe we'll have, you know, EA having Origin on the Wii U and the 720, if that's kind of the road they go down. Because at least in that sense, you kind of know. Obviously, Steam and Sony have a good relationship at this point.
Yeah, of course, the Portal 2
thing. One of the quotes in the article from The Verge is that the Steam box isn't just being targeted to deal with the consoles. They're going at it with Apple. They want to take them head on and just beat the crap out of them. So you're certainly not going to suddenly see Steam without Sony. They're kind of going to be hand in hand. They've got a nice marriage going on right now. So it'll be interesting to see how Microsoft deals with that, if they're going to go with Steam as well. I know Nintendo's not really going to care about the Apple-Microsoft race, but if the Wii U is suddenly the only console with EA Origin, it'll be interesting to see how things play out.
Exactly. It's going to be interesting. It's an interesting time. Especially if they do, if Valve do indeed announce a console at GDC, and they show it at E3, we're going to have a situation where it's now a four-horse race between four companies as opposed to three, and just introducing something else into the playing field, which is going to be strange, but it'll be interesting, definitely, to have four companies.
It'll be interesting to see how Sony and Microsoft respond, because if this comes out, based on the rumor information, the tech that's in the Steam box, it is more powerful than the PS3 or the 360. If that suddenly tries to push them towards putting out their next-gen console ahead of schedule, to see how that would play out in the whole console war market as well.
Yeah.
Alternatively, I mean, are we going to have another Sega Dreamcast, where this is this amazing ahead-of-its-time console that ends up blowing up because there is a lack of support from developers, or people can't afford it because it is just ridiculous? I mean, if it's based on an Alienware CPU, it's going to be an expensive piece of hardware. It is not going to come out and be $300. It'll come out probably $700 or $800, which is an issue that the PS3 had when it came out and is certainly getting away from right now.
Yeah, and this is a problem.
Their really high price on launch.
This is a problem with the console market, is that it's so disconnected from the PC scene. Is that, you know, for a standard PC, you'll spend a couple of grand. You'll put a lot of money into it, whatever build you want and everything. But when you see a set price for a set console and that exceeds like $600-$700, people are going to be turned off. A lot of people are going to be turned off by that. And they will either think, you know, okay, I could do that, or I could just make my own PC and spend lots of money and have lots of other things going with it. Or I could get another console, which will still be good and have stuff and not have to pay as much. So does have the potential to kind of go down in flames if it isn't priced correctly or not brought out at the wrong time, you know. But we'll
and
see.
It certainly needs to have support from developers before they do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd hate to see something as good as the Dreamcast was now have the same fate as the Dreamcast did. Because it's just a shame. I mean, they really need to make everything perfect.
Exactly, yeah.
And, of course, one of the issues that the Steam Box will have is a lack of EA support. So they got to make up for it in other areas big time.
Which means making, you know, specific Valve games exclusive.
Which means making Half-Life 3 and Team Fortress 3 Portal 3, and all of them are exclusive.
Exactly. Making them all exclusive to Steam will be a big thing. It will...
Left 4 Dead...
Left 4 Dead, though, I think they do have a partnership with Microsoft in that sense. And I wouldn't want to see them pull away as a selfish gesture. But at the same time, if it's going to help your console, that is going to have a hamstring based on, you know, companies that are not going to want to be involved. I mean, there are big name companies that will be involved in this console if they decide to go with it. Ubisoft will be involved, Capcom will be involved, Square will be involved. Like, there's a lot of big names there, but they got to be really careful if this is what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, there we go. We'll see.
You know, we didn't call that segment what it was supposed to be.
Oh yeah, what was it supposed to be called again?
Oh. We called the segment
Harold and Newsmar.
Harold and Newsmar, and the story behind this is really, what are we going to call this crap? And Fizzy was just looking at things in his room and trying to put news in them.
Because it's a news segment, so you have to put news in it.
He had so many bad
fucking terrible ideas.
Yeah, I had a lot of good Star Wars ones, in my opinion.
They were probably something he suggested. And then he came to a Harold and Kumar, and... just there was a little bit of silence, and he said, "Harold and Newsmar." We lost it, and that was the best thing ever.
I'm sorry. The only, all right, I'll admit it. These two have like unlimited knowledge about video games. I'm a pretty good, solid gamer guy. But they blow me out of water. I'm an idea guy. That's why I'm here.
Fizz has the ideas.
To be fair, when I had the idea,
I'm the color
podcast,
commentator.
I approached Fizzy first because,
yeah.
Well, A. He's a good guy. I like spending time with him. B, I figured that he'd be entertaining. Plus, now, with him not here, we couldn't call this 2.5
Exactly.
Hours. Look at that amazing picture where he's half the size.
It's so good. It's amazing.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Yeah. I don't even care.
So.
Now, as far as all that goes, I mean, does that wrap up our show?
Think so. I think we just have to shamelessly promote ourselves.
Too.
I'll let you guys go first.
Okay.
Is there anything special that you guys are doing this week?
Let me think. I've got a few PO things I need to render out still. I think there's going to be the return of Minecraft. I have like 3 more episodes of Minecraft to render and put up, basically, from months ago. I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to record Minecraft again, because obviously Nick doesn't have internet, and I can't play while I'm at uni, so that's probably going to have to go on hiatus. But I will get those episodes up maybe this week. I'll get one up at least. And then standard battle videos during the week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. With Mario Kart interspersed, so lots of variety, I think. Be interesting.
You want to plug your Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, however you say it?
I don't even know. I am at NBZ on Twitter, which is ENNBEEZED, and then Facebook just slash Lord NBZ, I think, or NBZ, I'm not quite sure. One of the two.
Yeah. Well, this week for me, I have an unusual amount of days off. Instead of 2, I have a whopping 3. 3.5, really. So what am I going to do? Video game-wise, I hopefully will be putting myself into something new. Maybe finishing up a few titles that I was mentioning earlier that I was playing. I don't know what I'm going to get immersed in, but I'm going to get immersed in something that's going to be amazing. And, yeah, that's probably it. As for my channel, I got ideas all the time, and I'll follow through on none of them. Check me out at youtube.com/fizzystardust, facebook.com/fizzystardust, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for me, because a lot of you probably don't even know who I am, I know I saw that in the chat a fair amount. My name is, of course, High in Fiber. My YouTube channel is HighinFiber21. As far as games and stuff you'll see on my channel, I used to do Pokemon stuff, but I have since moved away. I do a lot of League of Legends stuff. Lately, it's been mostly bug fixes and all of that that I've kind of showed off. I may or may not do some Star Wars stuff, because, like I said earlier, I did get into that game again. And if I see some stuff that I'd like to show off, I'd certainly be willing to do that. Otherwise, we'll kind of see. I'm kind of really random with what I upload. And as far as my Twitter goes, I am at HeinFiber, no numbers, unlike my YouTube channel. And I don't use my Twitter to just show that I am linked to YouTube, so you won't see just like, I liked a video, I uploaded a video. I actually use Twitter as Twitter, much like I know that MBZ and Fizz
yes.
do. So if you
yes.
would like to join me, go ahead and do that. And if
yeah, by the way, my Twitter is Twitter. It's at Elfiz. L as in E-L, Spanish.
Elfiz. Nanada.
Elfiz. There you go.
I'd like to thank
I'm sorry
each
for
and every one
man.
Of you for coming out today and taking part in our pilot for
the
this
pilot.
Podcast.
It's a good.
If you guys have any suggestions, you know, feel free to throw them at us on, you know, our social networks, Twitter or on YouTube. In the next couple of days, we'll probably have the VOD up on YouTube, so you can leave your comments on there. And anything that we've talked about during the show will either have a link or a pop-out during the video, I would imagine. So you'll be able to see everything that we're getting. It's not something we just pulled out of our asses. This is stuff that is going on. And so I would like to say on behalf of myself, thank you very much. If there's any quote ending remarks from my co-hosts, let them go ahead and do that now.
It was a good show, I think. It was a good pilot, so
good
cool.
show.
Jolly Gordo, ha ha ha, riff raff, tip top. I think final plug we should give to Zoe again, Congressional Wombat, who of course
yes.
made the phenomenal picture that you see. When you see the video on YouTube, it will be all coloured in and it will have 2.5 gamers written on it and other such awesomeness. It will look very good, I think. So.
I
pip pip, cheer,
it's
yeah,
fantastic.
It's been
of
fine
course,
talking to these two Rolfians.
Fizz goes off into the
Sorry.
Her link will certainly
it's
be
been
in
a
the
weird
description
couple
on
days.
The VOD. I would please go check her out. Go tell her how much you love her, and the picture is amazing.
Yes, it is killer. Perfect.
As far as when or if we'll do another one, we're not sure. We'll probably do one next week.
There should be one around.
If there's anything that happens throughout the week that you want us to talk about, please feel free to let us know if it is, you know, newsworthy. We'll certainly think about it or talk about it if it's something that is currently on our list.
Yeah, I think the best way is to tweet us if you want us to do a segment or discuss something specific.
Yes.
So that's a good thing to do.
There you go.
But,
so, yeah. Toodaloo, folks.
Bye.